Blog Talk Radio.
Keep me in your glory. I never want to leave your glory. Healing in your glory. Never want to leave your side. Can y'all help me say?
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. This is Apostle Flowers filling in for Apostle Marcus Martin of Living Worship International. Welcome you to Block Talk Radio, Kingdom Builders International Block Talk Radio. We thank God for our listening audience, those that are listening by landline or cell phone or those that are listening by internet. We thank God for you. I want you to be encouraged on tonight. Again, my name is Apostle Carl Flowers. I'm filling in for Apostle Marcus Martin, who is one of my sons in the gospel. And thank God for him and the work that he is doing. Also, he's preparing as well for a conference coming up this week that he's involved in. He's one of the speakers in this conference. So I ask that the people of God would keep him in prayer. He's going before the Lord in prayer, seeking the face of God of what the Lord would have him to say unto the people of God, unto the church, unto the body of Christ, unto God's leaders as well. So as always, as I tell those when I come on Kingdom Builders on my broadcast, is that to be in high expectation, be expecting to hear from God, be expecting a move of God, be expecting for God to move concerning your prayers. You have to have faith. Amen. When you pray and you go before God and you're seeking the face of the Lord, when you go into prayer before the Lord, be in high expectation. Be in expectation that it's going to come to pass, that God has heard you, that God is answering your prayers, and that you want to see the manifestation of it. Thank God. Amen. For Prophetess Teresa, founder of Kingdom Builders International, and also Evangelist Hannah, who's working with her and those that are behind the scenes, behind Kingdom Builders International, making this possible, for you to get the word of God and for you to be encouraged and for you to be strengthened. And so let's go into prayer. Father, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, I thank you and I praise you, God, and I bless you, God, for the listening audience. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that you move under the sound of my voice, where my voice may be heard, God, that you move concerning your people, God, those that are facing situations, those who back us up against the wall, those that have been dealing with discouragement and disappointment, those that have experienced broken promises, God, concerning others that have made promises unto them but did not come through on their word, those that are experiencing being laid off from their job or terminated from their place of employment, God, those that may be experiencing foreclosure, God, going through or eviction, Father, I pray for your people, God, that may be battling with something physically in their flesh, God, in the name of Jesus, going through a warfare within themselves, whether it's an addiction, God, whether it's a stronghold over their life, God, I pray right now, God, that the mantle of deliverance be released, be activated right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you move concerning your people, that you came to set the captives free. That's what you anoint and raise up the fivefold ministry gifts for in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And Lord, I pray, God, that your anointing will break and destroy every yoke in the lives of your people, God. Lord, hear the cries of your people, God. Move concerning them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Move concerning that loved one, Lord, that woman that has been crying out for her son that is behind the prison bars. God, give him a miracle. Give her a miracle right now in the name of Jesus. Let her have a miracle testimony in her son, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, God, that person that has been praying for their loved ones to be saved, God, do it for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that person that may be standing there, God, for someone else, God, that is sick in their body, that was given up to die, sent home by the doctors, Lord, I pray a miracle would take place in their physical body right now, in the name that you will raise them up right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, I release fire. Let your fire be released, God, through the airways, God, in the name of Jesus. Fire of the Lord, let them feel your presence, God. Let them feel your anointing, Lord. Move, refresh, revive, renew, God, your people, God, that need a reviving, your people that need a refreshing, your people that need a renewing, God, and a renewing of the mind, God. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray for those, Father God, that have been weary, that is being weary, the enemy is wearying them, that they will be not weary and well doing. Your word declares, if they faint not, then they shall reap the harvest. So, Lord, I pray a supernatural strength upon those, Lord God, that have been feeling weary, that have been feeling tired, to the point where they almost just want to throw in the towel and just give up and just say, forget it, I can't do this, it's too hard. I want to encourage you, man of God. I want to encourage you, woman of God. I want to encourage you, daughter of God. I want to encourage you, son of God, to hang in there, to continue to fight the good fight of faith. Don't throw in the towel. You're just there at your breaking point. I know the enemy is not doing anything other than what he only have a short time to do. See, the enemy only have a short time to do what he's doing in your life for a season. But if you don't give up, if you don't be faint at heart, but if you just stay encouraged in the Lord, I tell you, your breakthrough is on the horizon. I'm telling you, your breakthrough is on the horizon. Don't give up, don't give in, and don't allow doubt to come in, because I know the enemy wants to also bring doubt. We don't see a move. We don't see things beginning to break and look like things are getting worse and worse. But that's the time, amen, for you to continue to press and press and press your way in and continue to move as the kingdom is moving. Know that, again, that your breakthrough is on the way. Remember, as Daniel, when he prayed, when he set his heart to pray, how there was warfare in the second heavens where the prince of Persia had blocked and held up Gabriel, the messenger, from bringing and delivering the message, the answer to Daniel that he was looking for from God, and how there was warfare going on. So God had to release Michael, amen, the general, one of the generals, the general head angels of God's army, amen, to come and to intervene from that principality, that prince of Persia, to warfare against him, so that Gabriel can get the message through to Daniel. And so it was held up. They said it was held up for 21 days because Daniel set his heart to fast and to pray for 21 days before the Lord. But it went to the 21st, I believe, that Daniel had got his answer. Amen. When the angel was broken through and the messenger came unto Daniel, and he let Daniel know that the Lord heard him when he set his heart to pray. He said, Daniel, the Lord heard thee when you set your heart to pray. And I tell you, beloved, when you set your heart to pray, when you set your heart to seek the face of God, God have already heard you. God have already answered you. And then sometimes when we see things in this natural realm and it look like things are not working right, outright, and look like things are getting worse and worse and everything, and it seems like we're not getting the answer that we have been looking for from God and seeking God about, I tell you, yet God have yet already answered when you set your heart to pray. God has already moved concerning that prayer, and God has already, amen, caused it to be so. But it's just you're looking for the manifestation of it. God wants you to stay in faith and see the manifestation of it. And I know you're saying, where you going, preacher? Well, on tonight, I'm telling you, I want to minister to you tonight on the importance of prayer. The importance of prayer for us to continue to pray. I know a lot of times when people hear the word prayer, you know, they want to, you know, kind of like yawn and, oh boy, talking about prayer and stuff and thinking, you know, prayer is boring and stuff. You actually have some saints of God that run from prayer when it's time to pray or don't really want to pray. They think it's boring. Oh, well, I'll fall asleep when I try praying. I mean, that's the tactic of the enemy. Did you not know there's power? You begin to build up power, amen, on the inside of you being released, amen, from God when you pray. The word of God said the prayers of the righteous avail of much, but then there's another translation that said that God make much power available unto us. You hear that? God makes much, when we pray, God makes much power available unto us. And see, that's why the enemy fights us in our prayer life. That's why the enemy don't want us to seek the face of God or commune or get involved when prayers announced in the church. You know, your pastor or there's a call for prayer. Barely anybody show up for that. But it's for you, beloved. It's very important that you pray. It's very important that you get involved when prayer is going forth in your church, when prayer intercession is going on. I tell you, God's anointing is released. Amen. God's power, amen, is released. Amen. The anointing begin to break and destroy the yokes. And I tell you, when you begin to pray, and then when the believers begin to come together and pray in unity, how there's such a move of God. The word of God said, one chase 1,000 to flight, two chase 10,000 to flight. So imagine how many demonic spirits that you can chase to flight, amen, and the saints of God, those that are of the kingdom, can chase to flight through prayer, when you come together in prayer and intercession. And how many know that when you stand in the gap for somebody else to pray, basically what you're doing is you taking on their warfare. What do you mean? What do you mean you're taking on their warfare? Is when you stand in the gap for somebody and you interceding, intercession means to be in the gap. You're taking their place as if you were them and praying on their, basically you're praying on their behalf, but you're praying as if it was, if you were them. So that's how you're standing in the gap for them. So if you got a person, you're praying for somebody who don't have a mind to pray for themselves, so by you standing in the gap for them, so then God can be able to move because that person don't have a mind to pray for themselves. So if a person is experiencing much warfare in their life that they cannot handle, they're going through a lot of stuff, and their mind is in bondage, and they're entangled, and they're focusing on what they're going through, what's happening in their life, and they can't really pray because they're so distraught, they're out of tune, they're distracted, they're focused all on just things falling apart all around them, things are not working out right, this going wrong, that going wrong, their focus is all on that, on everything that is going wrong other than God and praying. That's the time to be seeking the face of the Lord. And so that's why we stand in the gap for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, in the body of Christ, when we pray for one another. And that's why we encourage one another, because sometimes, you know, you could be at your lowest point. Think about the times when you were at your lowest point and you couldn't pray. And you needed to hear an encouraging word from God. You needed to hear from God. Amen. And God will send someone, send somebody, amen, to give you a word from the Lord, a prophetic word from the Lord, or speak to you encouraging words, and that will just give you the motivation that you need to get you up out of that slump that you were in, to get you up out of that pit that you were down in, and cause a motivation to get stirred up in you to say, you know, I'm breaking free from this. I'm going to shake myself off. I'm going to begin to press my way in. I'm going to begin to get back focused on the things of God. I'm not going to allow this, what was going on in my life, to be a distraction to me anymore. I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to stay looking, amen, towards the face of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again. I praise you, God, in the name of Jesus. Those that are listening under the sound of my voice, God, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, Lord, let the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would give clarity concerning prayer for those that are listening under the sound of my voice, God, a revelation come forth concerning prayer, Lord, that your people would have be motivated to pray, Lord. Let that hunger and that thirst get stirred up on the inside of them. If they begin to lose their hunger and their thirst, God, for prayer, God, in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray, Lord God, that you stir them up again and put that hunger on the inside and put that thirst on the inside of them. I know a lot of times we can go through things in life that can drain us, that can weary us, that can discourage us and drain the life of God out of us. But, Lord, I pray right now that you begin to release a supernatural strength upon your people, God, to pray, God, to seek you, Lord, to get up, God, in the name of Jesus, and to recognize the importance of communicating with you and communing with you. In Jesus' mighty name, thank God, amen and amen. And getting back into prayer, in Luke, the 11th chapter, starting with the first and the second verse, it said, "And it came to pass that as he was praying," this is Jesus, "in a certain place, when he seeks, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth." So what Jesus was doing, he was teaching them the model prayer, because they didn't know how to pray. And so only so far as what they have seen was John the Baptist working with those that was his disciples during the time of his ministry. And so when John the Baptist's ministry had to decrease so that Jesus can increase, because John the Baptist had fulfilled what he was sent here to do. And John the Baptist was a forerunner for Jesus Christ. He was here to make the way for Jesus Christ to preach the baptism. He was baptizing for the remissions of sin. And he said, there's one that's going to come, amen, that is greater than I, because he was preaching the kingdom of God, amen, preaching on that and preaching about Jesus Christ and coming up against, as you say, the religious folks, amen, those that did not want, amen, the ways of God. They put on a facade. They would just put it like this. You know, people that just come to church, but they really not living the life. But, you know, they come to church on Sunday and say, well, I go to church on Sunday. I do believe in God, but, you know, I don't do anything bad. I try to stay out of trouble. I try to live a good life, but there's no relationship there. They don't have no relationship with the Lord. They are not really born again. They're not as you say, they deny the power thereof. Amen. They're denying the power thereof. So what you're saying, priest, that they're denying the power by them not having a relationship with the Lord, and them not really being transformed or born again, but just going to church religiously. Because, again, as you heard me say, there are a lot of people that go to church on Sunday, and I was one of those ones that went to church on special occasions, only on Easter or only special holidays. So that was about, what, twice out of the year, something like that they have at the church or something like that. The only time I would go to church, I was brought up in the church and everything, but I did not have a relationship with the Lord. I didn't know what it was to have a relationship with the Lord. The only closest thing that I knew to Jesus and having a relationship with Jesus, saying the blood of Jesus when I got in trouble. So I was out there doing all my mess, all my sin, conniving and shystering and all this stuff, and fornicating and trying to get every woman that I can, just, you know, just something to brag about and stuff like that. And, you know, didn't care drinking and getting high and all these things and stuff like that, and then take my behind right up and sit right up in church. I would get so religious about it that to the point if I did my dirt on that Saturday, I wouldn't show up on Saturday. I mean, show up on Sunday to church on Sunday because I messed up. I went out partying and drinking and doing my stuff all on Saturday night. So I've been not there going show my face up in the house of God to in the church and everything because of the wrong that I was doing. So what I would do, I'd do my dirt, my club, and my party and all that stuff, whatever I do, all my stuff, what I'm going to do, all during the weekday, all the way up to Friday and stuff like that, and so that I won't feel so guilty that when Saturday hit, because I didn't go to no party, I wasn't drinking, I didn't do anything on Saturday, so I could be able to go to church on Sunday. So if you listen to what I'm saying, that's some messed up thing. I had some messed up thinking there. I had my mind was all messed up, jacked up, perverted, and everything, and sitting here thinking that I can get over on God by saying if just because I didn't do no wrong on Saturday, then I can be all right in God's eyes on Sunday. And that you have saints of God that's professing Christian that live like that, doing their stuff all throughout the week, and then come and put on their religious face on Sunday. But I tell you, when you have a relationship with the Lord, you begin to seek the face of God through prayer. Prayer begin to bring deliverance. In your life, prayer begins to cause you to shed off those things that are not like God, because the Holy Spirit is working on the inside of you, bringing forth conviction, telling you now you know you're not ought to be doing that anymore. Now you know you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. The things that you used to do, you shouldn't do it anymore. I know we hear a lot of teachings, and we've been in a lot of teachings and preaching on the grace teachings and everything. I kind of nothing wrong with grace and teaching on grace, but you got to teach with balance. And the message that I've been seeing, and which it seemed like to me was being relayed, so somebody tell me if I'm wrong, the message that it seemed like to me that's being conveyed, that yes, we're no longer under the law, but we are under grace, and that you cannot, basically what they're conveying is that I can just go out and I can do whatever, and yet God can still, God will forgive me, and I won't, lose my salvation. I know there's some teachers saying that you can't lose your salvation. So now if you correct me if I'm wrong, I know in the Word of God, in the Old Testament, I believe in Ezekiel, it talks about God would blot out all the works that you have done, and he won't even remember. He erase it, and he won't even remember what you have done. So what that tell you right there, if God blotted out and erased it out, all the things that you did for him, he won't remember. And then why does it say in the New Testament, I believe in Revelation, it talks about if you add or you take away from the book, and how he's going to take your name out of the book of life, and how he's going to add these plagues, these different things to you when you add and take away from the Word of God. So, but you hear a lot of that. I mean, if you really listen to the grace teaching, so what separates us? Then they're telling me, then what separates us from the world? What, when you hear the word sanctification, many people say, oh, you go to a sanctified church. Oh, no, every church should be sanctified. If you're born again believer in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what denomination it is. If you have a denomination or something like that, and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, born again, you automatically is supposed to be sanctified. That means sanctified is mean to be set apart. Everyone that confess that is born again in Jesus Christ and confess him as Lord and Savior is sanctified, set apart, set aside for the Lord. And that's what you're doing when you're praying, and you're seeking the face of God. You're being sanctified. You're being set aside for the Lord. God has called many of you, chosen many of you to do a work for him. You have a special call upon your life. You were set aside for him for that purpose. Amen. So, many of you, those that are seasoned, I'm talking to pastors and leaders, those that are seasoned in the things of God, notice how you didn't begin to move into the things of God or the supernatural realm of God. Amen. All that was developed through prayer. How you started out. I'm going to use myself for an example. When God had called me, the call was always there from my mother's womb. But when it was time for me to answer the call at the age of 18, when I had a supernatural encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, it was time for me to stop living the way that I was living and doing my mess, partying and DJing and clubbing and all that stuff that I was doing during that time. all my years, my teenage years, and right before I hit the age, right at the age of 18, when the Lord called me, I was on my way. I was on my way ahead, and I was with this group, amen. With this rap group, there was different rap groups during that time, and this manager, he was promoting them. Promoting these rappers, and I was one of the dancers, and we were supposed to be going to Atlanta, Georgia, to a conference type of thing where you go and you show them what you can do, and they sign you up. And right before that was going to happen for me, I'm sitting there thinking I'm about to hit the big time, I'm about to make it big, and so on and everything, and I'm on my way, and you know, I was just real full of pride and big-headed. I wanted people to worship me. I didn't so much care about the money. I just wanted people to worship me. And think that you just heard what I said, right? You heard right. Worship me. I was operating under my daddy during that time, which was Satan. And he was my father during that time. So I was full of pride and wanted people to worship me, idolize me, and everything about, oh, man, he's bad, in his dancing. He's bad in his DJing and stuff like that. I wanted the praise of men. I wanted them to idolize me, to worship me, and everything. That was the mindset that I had, because why? I was under my father, influence of my father, the devil, during that time. But then when I had my supernatural encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, yes, Jesus is still visiting people this day. He's not just sitting on the right hand of the Father. Jesus yet still, amen, going and visiting his people and visiting those that he have chosen to do a work for him. So, yes, Jesus is going here and going there, still visiting people. Jesus is still showing up. So I want the people of God to know that God did not stop calling apostles. Amen. Apostles are for today. Amen. And Jesus is still visiting today. For those that don't believe that Jesus will come up and show up and visit a person, and so, yes, he will. Amen. So when I had my supernatural encounter with Jesus, just like Paul on Damascus, well, before he became Paul, he was Saul on the Damascus Road. I had a similar experience, except I wasn't riding on a horse, but I was riding on a horse of pride. So the Lord had to knock me off of my horse of pride, and he blinded me. Amen. So I'm not going to get off more into that, but I just want to keep the focus on prayer and everything. But when the Lord got a hold of me, then that's when I began to develop a relationship with the Lord. That's when I began to pray. I had to go under tutelage. I had to be taught. I had to submit under elite leadership, because I wasn't submitted under authority. I was doing whatever I wanted to do and didn't want to submit under authority. So the first thing I had to go and submit under authority. So that's what I did. I went and submitted under authority. I didn't go easy. So I went, started going to church, but it wasn't doing nothing for me. A particular church that I was going to during the time, it wasn't really doing nothing for me during that time. So I just ended up stopped going, still was doing what I was doing, still doing parties, DJing at parties and different things like that, still drinking, doing all these various things. And so the Lord had to pay me another visit where, I had that in a vision where he had it. I'm just giving you the real edited version because of time. Say he had it raining on me, fire and brimstones were falling out of the sky on me, burning me. And so I cried out to the Lord Jesus, and I said, Lord God, please forgive me. I said, save me. I'm sorry. And next thing you know, the fire and brimstone stopped falling down on me, like Sodom and Gomorrah. And a light flashed through pierced through the clouds, the dark clouds, and came down in front of me. And I went blind in this vision that I was having. And then I felt Jesus. He was standing in front of me, and then he began to speak to me. He began to tell me, he said, everything is safe. Everything is all right. I come to take you out. And when I came out of this vision and this dream that I was in, and from that day forward, I made up my mind, God, I'm gonna serve you no matter what. I don't know how I'm gonna do it, but I'm gonna serve you. So I made sure I got back into the church. It wasn't the church that I was going to during that time, but it was a Pentecostal church that God had sent me to. I was going through there where I began to submit under that leadership, under that pastor during that time, and he began to teach me, amen, and begin to help me to develop my prayer life and my word life and so on. So God was making me during that time and developing me, and God was building me up through prayer. And I would say, I was kind of anxious because I was like, telling my pastor, let my pastor know, God had called me. He said, well, don't worry about that right now, just pray. And so I thank God for him for pushing me to pray, to stay in prayer. So that's how God began to develop me, through prayer. And I tell you, supernatural things begin to happen as I begin to pray, begin to set aside a time to begin to pray and seek the face of the Lord. And it was like I just had such a, you know, just such a hunger on the inside of me. Just kind of every moment, every chance that I got, I went to go and pray. I'll slip away in the washroom somewhere at work to pray. I'll slip away in the closet somewhere to pray, you know, at home. If it was like, you know, busy, a lot of traffic going on at home, I'd wait and I'd slip away into the washroom and pray. Or just slip, just every chance that I God, I will go to pray and seek the face of the Lord, and then that's when I started experiencing, amen, the presence of God, feeling His presence, and hearing the Holy Spirit below in the room. I was praying in doing the place where I was, the townhouse that I was staying at years ago. Back in the early 90s, I would go in the washroom and pray, and there's no windows. There was no windows in my washroom. And as I was praying, amen, kneeled down on the side of the tub in the washroom praying, just crying out to God, just seeking Him, just wanting Him, desiring Him, His presence, and just hungering and thirsting for Him and wanting to know Him. And then, I just heard a wind just begin to blow in the washroom, and it kind of scared me some, because I looked up and I'm like, there's no window in the washroom, and I'm looking around and everything, and then so I would just go right back into prayer. Then I remember another moment that I began to pray in my bedroom. I was kneeling on the side of my bed just praying, just crying out to God, just wanting Him, wanting His presence, wanting to know more, more of Him. Just God, I want to know You. And just, God, I just want You. I need You. Just crying out. And then I felt the presence of God. And then just come, amen, and just sit right next to me on the side. You know how somebody, you sitting there, you can feel somebody come and sit on the bed, and you can feel the weight of someone sitting on your bed. And so I'm on my knees and I'm praying, and I feel this weight like somebody just came and just sat right next to me on the bed. I got a little bit startled because it was new to me. I've never experienced the supernatural presence of God. I had never experienced the presence of God because I was religious. I was brought up religious in the church. You know, all my life, that's all I knew, was just going to church and just saying the blood of Jesus when I got in trouble. I didn't know what it was to have a relationship with God. So when I began to start having a relationship with the Lord, I began to feel His presence. The Word of God is true. Same thing I want to tell you, the Word of God is true. You will begin to have experiences and encounters with the Lord, heavenly encounters with the Lord, as you begin to, all that happens through prayer. I know many times, I know some of you have got words in your life that, you know, yes, God is going to visit you and the Lord is going to do this and do that, but how is He's going to do that if you don't pray, if you don't commune with Him, if you don't fellowship with Him, if you don't press your way in into His presence, if you don't try? It does not take much. I tell you, amen, some of the experiences that you would have, you know, with the Holy Spirit, with the Lord, as you begin to pray, amen, I tell you, God begins to move on your prayers when you fervently begin to pray and begin to seek after Him and begin to seek His face, and not seeking His hand, but begin to seek His face and not what's in His hand. I need to say that again, begin to seek His face and not seek what's in His hand. But as you seek His face, He's going to release what's in His hands unto you. And so you begin to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness and all these other things. He's going to add unto you. He's going to add it unto you, beloved. God don't want us to be focused on what's not working out right in our life, because that's designed by the enemy. That's the plan, to get you focused on the things that are not going right. So He can't keep you in perfect peace if your mind is not stayed on Him. I know that's what the word said. He keep you in perfect peace as your mind is stayed on thee. Who is thee? It's Him. If your mind is stayed on the word, that's the only way you can be in peace. But if your mind is stayed on this negative thing, my checking account is in the negative, my children acting up, my daughter done ran away from home, I'm going through in the workplace, on the job, I have problems with my car, don't have the money in the bank because my account is in the negative. When they deposit that check, that's going to eat up most of my check right there. Rent is due, mortgage due, you know, just a lot of things going on. See, they have you focused on all the things that is not going right. So that way he's coming in, he's robbing your peace, and then that way he can't keep you in perfect peace because your mind is not stayed on Him. Your mind is on all these other things other than God, other than the Word of God. As you begin to meditate, according to Philippians 3, I believe, it's in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, or the 4th chapter. And one of those chapters talks about think on these things. Paul said, think on these things. When you're thinking on something, what are you doing? You're meditating on that thing. And so when you're thinking on a thing, which is not the thing of God, you're meditating on the wrong thing. And so as a man thinketh in his heart, so is what? So is he. And so when you're thinking on things that are negative, and that's not the things of God, then you begin to operate out of the negative things that you're thinking of. So what next thing you know, you find yourself what? Lashing out at people. Why? Because, I mean, it's not them, but it's because what you have been meditating on, that negative thing that you've been meditating on it, and now you don't fit your spirit with it. Now it's a part of you now. So now you find yourself, lashing out at people. And you hear people saying, oh, I got up out of the wrong side of the bed. I never knew there was a wrong side of the bed, that you can get up out of the wrong side of the bed. And so, you know, we say stuff like that. You down and woke up on the wrong side of the bed, or you find yourself being frustrated and lashing out and taking it out on people, and people looking at you like, you know, I thought you was a Christian, and then you find yourself snapping off on people and having attitudes and everything. Why? Because you were thinking on the wrong thing. You were meditating on the wrong thing. So if you're meditating on the things of God and putting your mind and your focus on the word of God, then he would keep you in perfect peace, and then you would not be reacting out of your flesh and out of your emotions, but you will bring your flesh under subjection. Why? Because you've been in prayer. Why? Because you've been in meditation, meditating upon the word of God. As he said, meditate upon my word day and night, because you've been doing it. So now you're not moved by your emotions, which will not cause you to react out of your flesh. So that's what ended up happening. So, but as you're bringing it under subjection, through prayer, regardless of what's happening in my life, regardless of how things are seem like it's going haywire and falling apart, hallelujah, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be within my mouth. Amen. They just sent me a notice saying that my electric is about to be cut off, but I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Well, you don't understand. They sent me a disconnection notice with my gas bill, but I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall be in my mouth. Well, understand, you know, I don't have any gas to get to work. My account is in the negative, but I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continue to be within my mouth. Did not the word of God say that I will supply your every needs according to my riches in glory? I'm talking about God, that he will supply your every needs according to his riches in glory. But the only way he can do that is that you would have to have been given of yourself, your time, your talent, and your resources. Amen. If you've been tithing, if you've been sowing, amen, to the local house where you belong in the midst of them, that's when that scripture applies. I know you would hear that a lot. You think God will supply your needs according to his riches and glory. No, he won't if you have not been given. I know you probably upset with me. I know some people probably upset with me now, because I said that, like, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, preacher. That God said he would. Yes, he did say he would meet your needs, you know, the bare minimum. The only way that you can receive the blessings, amen, the only way you can receive, amen, the move of God, of how you want for God to be able to move in your life, amen, you have to be faithful in your giving, faithful in your tithing, in your local assembly, amen, is where that scripture, according to Philippians 4:19, I believe, applies. That's what Paul said, my God. He made it personal. He didn't say, our God shall supply your every needs according to his riches and glory. No, go back and read that scripture. Paul made it personal. He said, my God shall supply all of your needs. Why? Because they were sowing into him. And that's why he made that statement that God will supply their every need. So if you've been sowing into your leader, amen, if you've been giving in your tithes and in your offering, amen, then you can stand on that word that God will supply your every needs according to his riches and glory. I know some of you feel like that I said the wrong thing, but that's the word. Go back and read it.
go back and read it for yourself. But even get back to the Word of God, you know, with the time I do have. In prayer, that's why I want to encourage you concerning prayer. Prayer calls you to enter into a place of experiencing having visions and dreams and mysteries being revealed. When you pray and you commune, you communicate with the Father. We have to stay in communication with our Heavenly Father. We have to. Notice in relationship, in marriage, when the husband and wife do not communicate what happened, then there becomes a breakdown in the marriage. Things begin to happen. The person tends to start getting bitter and feeling rejection, and then they start to what? They start going looking elsewhere to, you know, have their needs fulfilled. Why? Because it's not being fulfilled at home. Well, he's not listening to me. You know, I'm trying to communicate, or she's not listening. I'm trying to communicate. So when there's a breakdown in communication, then things begin to happen. So that's what happened when we are not in communication with our Father, because it is a marriage. Remember, he's coming back for a bride. A church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. So when we do not communicate with our Heavenly Father, amen, then there's a breakdown in relationship. So then there's a doorway open up for the enemy to come in and start doing this thing. Why? Because we have not been in communication. So God has not been able to reveal to us or warn us. Or when God was speaking to us, we were not hearing his voice. Why? Because we have not been in communication with him to hear his voice. So now we under, you know, this is happening, that is happening. And so if we was in communication with the Father, then we would know what was about to happen and that the enemy is about to come. We would have been better prepared for it, and we'd be able to withstand, because the Word of God said, resist the devil, and he shall flee. He will flee. And so if you don't know something is coming, then how would you know if you're not aware of it? So the only way you'll be aware of it, if you're in prayer and communication, amen, with the Heavenly Father and having a relationship with the Holy Spirit and our Lord and Savior, our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Amen, very, 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 very important. I tell you, when God had called me and I was going through the season where, I mean, every minute I can get, every chance that I can get, I would slip away and go and pray. And I tell you, I was having all, I mean, kinds of heavenly visions. Amen. God was showing me things and things to come. And it was just literally just blowing my mind. And I tell you, those that have a prophetic call, you're called to be an intercessor or prayer warrior, prophetic call upon your life, only way is going to be birthed through prayer. That's the only way. I didn't start moving into the prophetic until, you know, I was praying and praying, because I would get words. God is going to use you in the prophetic dimension, and you're going to be like Isaiah, the eagle-eyed prophet, and move. And I'm like, wondering, how is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? How can I move, you know, in this, in the prophetic? And so I was like, well, I want to move in the prophetic to the point, man, I would begin to go long fasts and praying to the point my pastor, you have a prayer line, and I was in the prayer line, and when I came up and God gave it to him by the Spirit, and he began to prophesy to me, he said, the Lord said that you've been seeking him, you've been consecrating, you've been fasting, you've been praying, you've been seeking him, you've been trying to pull down spiritual gifts. But God said, it's not time yet. He said, it's not time yet. But keep praying, keep seeking him like you've been doing. And I tell you, saints of God, that's what I'm doing. But then when it was the time, then I began to move, and the next thing you know, I found myself begin to prophesy the word of the Lord. God began to use me prophetically, began to prophesy. But it started out through edification, exhortation, and comfort, giving words of encouragement. That's how I started out. By giving words of encouragement, that's how I began to move in the prophetic dimension, by going up to people, giving them scripture and giving them encouraging words. And then next thing you know, God began to, out of my belly, began to flow the rivers of living water. I began to prophesy. I was changed into another man. Amen, as the word of God said in Samuel. Amen, praise God. But getting back into the word on prayer. Amen. Let me give you the definition of prayer, to pray. It's an action word. It's a verb. It means to entreat, implore, often used as a function word in introducing a question, a request, or plea in a humble manner, to address God with adoration, confession, supplication, or thanksgiving. You hear that? Why it's very important, what the importance of prayer, and why we need to pray. And when the disciples went to Jesus, asked Jesus to teach us how to pray, and notice in Luke the 11th chapter, first, second verse, it said that and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place. So Jesus had a certain place that he was praying in. So there was a place that Jesus used to would go to go and pray and seek the face of the Lord. So when he came out of that place of prayer, the disciples asked him to teach them how to pray. He began to show them how to pray and begin to give them something basic, something simple for them to pray. But then you have to graduate beyond that. So he didn't want them to be stuck with that. But at that moment while he was with them, he was teaching them the basics. So that's why he said, dress the Father as our Father. He's all our Father. I'm talking about, you know, those that that don't believe. Put it like this. He put it like this. He's all of our Father. Those that are believers in Jesus Christ. He's all of our Father, regardless of what color your skin is. He's all of our Father. If you believe in Jesus Christ, I don't care if you're Asian. I don't care if you're Caucasian. I don't care if you Hispanic. I don't care what nationality or you know that you creed or color or ethnic group that you come from. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he is all of our Father. So that's why Jesus said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth." Now, Luke, the 11th chapter, in the first, second verse, I want to break down, you know, for a little bit that there's certain place. In Luke, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse, it says Jesus withdrew himself to a place, you know, to a place, I'm just kind of paraphrasing some, but within that text it talks about how Jesus withdrew himself, and he went to a place of solitude to pray, a place of, you know, in the wilderness to pray. So I want to encourage you, you know, just have that place where you go to pray where nobody can come disturb you, tell them to come and knock on your door, I don't bother you, shut your phone off, unplug stuff, you know, just anything that will be a distraction. Get away from it and get with God. Get that place that you have hollowed out for the Lord. Matter of fact, that's what when he said, "Hallowed be thy name," that means reverent. Holy is thy name. And so that's why there's only, you know, one reverent, which is God. And I know man have taken that on as a title when they use the word reverent. I don't mean to offend anyone that's taken on the title of a reverent or say, you know, call me reverent or that is a reverend, but I know the word of God said holy and reverent is thy name. Only time you're going to find reverend in the Bible, one place in the Bible is in Psalms. Amen. Where there's one time mentioned in the Bible, reverend is mentioned in the Bible, and it's referring to God's name. Holy and reverent is thy name, O Lord. But anyway, getting back to the place, you can have any place that you can get away to be. It can be the lakefront. It can be in your car. It can be just a place just to get away somewhere so that it can just be you and God where you can communicate, you know, and commune with the Lord in your time of prayer with the Father. So have a certain place. Have that place, you know, where nobody else can disturb or go into. It's just, you know, where you get away and to be with God. And so it said, and then it talks about Jesus mentioned in earth. So I want to touch in earth a little bit on that. And so in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, 7th verse, it said, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." So Jesus was talking about in earth. He wasn't just talking about the little earth, but he was talking about within us. We have the kingdom on the inside of us. We are of the kingdom. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. So God's will is done through who? Us. Earthen vessels here in the earth. That's why it is mentioned in Corinthians when Paul wrote about that, saying that that we are earthen, we have treasure. So we have the treasure on the inside of us, and that it may be the power may be of God and not of ourselves. So God don't want us glory. God, we can't take the glory from God. God gets all the glory. So we can't say it was by my doing or it was because I did this, this person got healed. Or because I did this or did that, God moved for this person. No, we better recognize. God wants us to recognize that it was him, that it may be of the power maybe of him and not of us. And so you always want to be in a place of humility. Yes, believe God, allow God to use you. But don't take the credit. Don't take the glory away from God. Stay humble. keep that humble mindset. I mean, don't get lifted up in yourself or get lifted up in pride and say, look what I've done. Oh, mass miracles have taken place because of me, or because I've prayed and I've fasted for 40 days and I did 10 extra days, made it 50 days. That's why God moved like he did. No, it was because of his sovereignty. God moved. Amen. Because he wants to move on behalf of his people. Amen. So God don't want us to get beside ourselves, but God wants us to stay humble and stay meek, because you don't want to be a castaway. You don't want to be the one that, people get saved and delivered and so on through God using you, and you yourself be a castaway. Paul mentioned it. So, don't get it mixed up. So that's why it's very important to stay humble before the Lord and with meekness. I mean, I know my time is rapidly approaching to a close. But in Mark, the 11th chapter, 17th verse, it talks about how Jesus taught them, saying that my house shall be the house of prayer. It's called to be the house of prayer for all nations. So, again, as you heard me say maybe not too long ago, a few minutes ago, about touching on our Father. And that's dealing with all nations. So that's why he said for all nations. So it's supposed to be a prayer for all nations. So we're not supposed to separate ourselves from other nationalities. And I'm talking about they are believers in Jesus Christ, but you have some denominations that don't want to be involved with other nationalities because they're not of their ethnic background, or because they're not of their color, so to speak. Well, I don't want to fellowship with them because they're Caucasian, or I don't want to fellowship with them because they are all black church and so on and everything. No, he said my house should be a house of prayer for all nations. When you hear the word of God, Jesus said, I'm coming back for a church. I'm coming back for my body. He didn't say I'm coming back for just the Jews, the Messianic Jews, his people. Jesus didn't say, I'm just coming back for the African Americans. Jesus didn't say, I'm just coming back for the Caucasians. No, Jesus said, I'm coming back for a body without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And when you read in Revelation, the word of God said that all nations, kindreds and tongues, is going to worship him. Go back and read your Bible, beloved. I'm talking to some of you pastors and some of you leaders. Amen. Get that prejudice out of your heart. I want to encourage you to repent. If you've been that way, if you allow the enemy to come in to use you that way, and talking about our Caucasian brothers saying that they blue-eyed devils and all this stuff, they're not going to make it in, and you're talking about God's creation. You're talking and you're speaking against God. Amen. They're born again believer in Jesus Christ. They're confessing Jesus Christ. They're doing the works of Jesus. God is using them, and that's why Jesus had to rebuke the disciples. They wanted to go and stop these other people that were casting out devils in Jesus' name. And Jesus said, "Leave them alone, because they're doing a good thing." So again, who was that? Peter. God dealt with him firsthand on being prejudiced through prayer. Amen. Got a vision. Peter had a vision. And just to make a long story short, in that vision, God told him to slay and eat. And Peter began to say, I don't eat nothing unclean. Or, I don't touch and eat nothing unclean. God said, that which I made is not unclean. It's not dirty. So he's referring to other nationalities. And so he told him to go to Cornelius. I know the story, Cornelius, who gave much alms before the Lord. And Cornelius was he was a Gentile. Not only a Gentile, but he was, Italian or something. I can't quite remember right now, right offhand. But put it like this, he was not come from the Jewish background. And during that time, they didn't preach. They were not called to the Gentiles. Peter and them. Peter was called to the Jews. But God made an exception with him to break him from that of being prejudiced, that prejudice biosphere that he had. Well, let me get back into the word here. And I'm going to begin just to wrap it up here. I pray that the word is doing something for you. I pray that you're being blessed by the word of God on tonight. But in Mark, the 9th chapter and 29th verse, said, and he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Something's not going to happen unless you pray. And you got to fast on top of it. Now you see the importance of prayer, because the man, he was upset with his son, who kept having seizures and throwing himself in fire, throwing himself in the water, and just hurting himself, man, because there was a spirit possessing him, a demonic spirit in his body, and Jesus had to cast it out. And Jesus said, it won't this kind come out, not but by prayer and fasting. So you see the very importance why we need to pray and to fast. Mark 11:25 it says here, it says, and when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that you, put it like this, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So you cannot have any aught in your heart, because then God, he's not going to hear it, because you know you got unforgiveness in your heart. So release. Don't go into prayer angry. Don't go into prayer mad. Why? Because when you do, you come in with the wrong spirit anyway. Then you have those praying, people praying witchcraft prayers, praying vengeance prayer, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth prayer. God, get them, strike them down. You know, they touch your anointed, and you told them, touch not your anointed, do your prophets no harm. And now they're in there praying witchcraft against people, you know, a person. Or you praying witchcraft against a person because you're upset and you're angry and you're mad. And that's why Jesus said, bless and curse not. He said, vengeance is here. Leave that to him. Leave that place to him. He will repay. But don't do it because you're looking for vengeance or you want God to do it, because the Word of God said when he's doing it, moving on your behalf, and then you rejoicing because of what your enemy is going through, because God's taking vengeance for you. God's going to lift that thing off of them because now you're rejoicing in it. Yeah, God got them. I told them not to touch me. You know, they weren't supposed to touch his prophet, his anointed one. Now I see what happened. Then so now what you know, you acting out of pride. Now you being self-righteous and strong and everything. And then here in Mark 11:24 it said, pray, believing. Go to God when you go in prayer, believe. You know, many of us, we go into prayer and we don't believe we're not even believing what we're praying. We're going in with no expectation. We just go in and do it out of duty. Oh, I know I got to go and spend my time with the Lord, go and pray, you know, with no expectation, just doing it out of duty, doing it religiously, doing it ritualistically, just to say we went to pray. No, you go in with expectation. You go in expecting an encounter with the Holy Spirit, expecting for God to reveal something, give you a revelation to move, and expecting to God to move on behalf of your prayers concerning someone else. Amen. My time is almost up, saints of God. Let me give you a few more scriptures. I'm going to begin to close on out. And again, I want to encourage you to forgive. When you pray, ask God to just be release that person that wronged you. Begin to forgive. God, just begin to release them. Say, God, I choose to forgive. Lord, I release that person that offended me, that done me wrong. The person may, 9 out of 10 may not even know that they wronged you. And you walking around, and I'm looking upside their head and stuff like that. And then you have some that the enemy just used, but yet you still have to forgive. How many times am I supposed to forgive my brother, Peter said to Jesus? Jesus said 79, 7 a day. That means over and over and over again. But we don't want to do that. Amen. And in your own time, in Matthew 6, the first 8 verses, it talks about not doing your alms before men or pray, outward to be seen of men. Actually, basically, your motives be wrong for you doing what you're doing. So God said, don't do that. Don't let your motives be wrong. Amen. In Luke 3:21, it says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, you hear that? While he was being baptized, he was praying, that the heavens was opened, verse 22, and then it said, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, that thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. A lot of times we're looking for approval. God was showing his approval, amen, upon his Son, Jesus Christ, because he was well pleased. And notice Jesus was praying for, you know, before he was about to get baptized, Jesus stayed and prayed. He was praying. And notice when you go into prayer, the heavens open up. You experience an open heavens. Amen. The Holy Spirit began to move in the midst of you while you're praying, because it's saying that the Holy Ghost descended. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is moving in the midst of you. Amen. Then you begin to hear from God. You begin to hear what the Lord is saying after you finish praying. You quiet now you're listening and being prostrated before the Lord, and now you're listening for the voice of the Lord to speak, so that you can receive instruction. In Luke 9:29 said, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. So Jesus' garment was changed. Whenever you go into prayer, you have an experience, an encounter with the Holy Spirit, with God, with Jesus, Your countenance changed. People see the difference. They feel the power of God radiating from you. They see the difference in your countenance. They see a glow about you. They see the fruits being evident. You have the joy of the Lord, like nothing bothering you. And the enemy trying to do things to disrupt you and disturb you or try to take away your peace, but yet you have joy. They see people see the joy of the Lord. Stuff can just be going wrong all around. People can see your situation. It's close to your situation that you just got fired from your job. Your car broke down. You lost your place, and yet you still got this joy. Yet you still praise God. Why? Because all that came through prayer. And in closing, number one, you have to have a teachable spirit. Number two, have a place of sanctum, a hollowed out place to pray, a room anywhere that can be a place of solitude or a getaway for you. Like the park, as you heard me say, the lake, your car, anywhere, just have a place. Number three, you are the vessel that God is going to work his power through. Remember, it's not of us. Number four, believe when you pray, you shall receive. Number five, forgive so that your prayers be not hindered. Number six, prayer changes your attitude inside first, then out. Your appearance change, a glow about you, the fruits are being evident. You look like begin to look more like Jesus. People begin to feel and see God's glory and his anointing and his presence be upon you. And then number seven, it says, I want to stay humble. Don't do things to be seen of men. Then you already have your reward when you do things to be seen of men. Number eight, last one, when you pray, it causes you to walk under an open heavens. Communication and fellowship with the Father, closeness, a supernatural encounters, visions, dreams, miracles, signs, and wonders follow you. And in my closing, Romans 8, chapter 26, verse and 27 verse, it talks about how the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us when we know not what to pray for. Amen. So I want to encourage you to pray in the Spirit. Spend a lot of time praying in your heavenly language. And those of you that do not pray in the heavenly language, if you don't have the gift to speak in tongues, brand tongues, hey, it's a gift from God. Just begin to pray. Amen. Get lost in the presence of God. Then before you know it, you just start flowing in the gifts, amen, of the Spirit, and you start flowing with the evidence of speaking and with new tongues, amen, through prayer. That's how I began to speak. And it happened for me right away when I got baptized, when I was getting baptized years ago during the time. Some people went down and came up speaking in tongues. That didn't happen for me. It wasn't until when I was praying and seeking the face of God, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I began to speak. But as the years went by, my tongues, my language began to change. Things began to change. It takes you from faith to faith, and from glory to glory, higher and higher dimensions in the things of God. Amen. Praise God. I went a little bit over my time, but I want to just take this opportunity, this time, for those that may not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I just want you to repeat after me. And even if you are a backslider, he's married to the backslider. Amen. Just repeat after me. And just come on home. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah who came in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent. I claim forgiveness and cleansing. I believe that your blood cleanses me now from all sin. Thank you for redeeming me, cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. Amen. Now, you just confess that. You're now saved. Welcome to the family of God. The angels in heaven are rejoicing over you. And now, just if you're not in a local church, get into a local church. Go to the Sunday service. Go to whatever Bible study, whatever they have throughout the week. Soak up the Word of God. Get involved into prayer. Go to prayer when they're doing prayer or whatever. Begin to let you know how to pray. Go ask somebody that is seasoned in the things of God. Get connected with somebody that's seasoned in the church. Amen. Allow somebody to mentor you. Amen. And just hang in there and be strong in the things of God. Amen. Well, praise God. I want to just turn it over to evangelist Hannah or whoever's taking over from here. Amen. God bless.
Glory to God, glory to God. Well, we just thank you, Apostle, for the bread that you gave us tonight, the bread of life. Glory be to God on prayer. Glory to God. And we just really appreciate you standing in absence for Apostle Marcus. Glory to God, glory to God. We just thank you, God, and Father God, in the name of Jesus. I just keep the blood of Jesus over the man. God, and I thank you that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, I battle through the backlash and retaliation for the word that went forth today in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, we will continue to supply every need for the apostle, his family, and his ministry, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, I thank you, Lord God, that you continue to take him from glory to glory, Lord God, that as his understanding is being enlightened even the more, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and understanding and knowledge and revelation that you have deposited into the man of God. In Jesus Christ's holy name, I pray, amen, and thank God. And I want to give a couple of minutes to anyone on the line that wants to have a prayer request or a comment. You may come forth now. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father God, you are truly worthy of all the glory and honor and praise. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. An Apostle Flower comes on every first and third Monday. And so he will be on next Monday. Glory be to God. And I just thank the man of God. And if no one has any comments or prayer requests, we're going to close off for tonight. And God bless and love you guys and continue to have a blessed evening.
Keep me in your glory. I never want to leave your glory. Healing in your glory. Never want to leave your side. Can y'all help?